terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So I want you to understand, we look at these games of chance, the rolling of the die as chance, a probability. What's the odds of it landing on Achan? How many families were there in Israel? Not tribes, each tribe went before it, and each family in that tribe. So I'm not sure. There's probably a number that gives you the possibility, the probability of that happening. But here, God tells them to do this by lot. But we learn that this is one thing that Joshua said. Look, you're not doing this on your own. God's got to force it on you. What he says in verse 3, how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land? Remember what we talked about. Israel generally now controls the land, but each tribe had to go into their portion and conquer the bad guys. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to go to my land. We'll just hang out here. Okay? It's like the 34-year-old that won't leave home. Okay? Living in your basement kind of thing. They don't want to leave. And God said, I'm going to force you then. We're going to divvy up the land and you got to take your portion. You can't live here. This is going to be mine. Joshua says, that's where Shiloh is. I think he's tribe of Ephraim. Joshua says, this is where I'm at. Y'all got to go. Okay? It's time to move out. And he's going to force this along. God has a plan for each one of those tribes. That brings me to this. The doctrine of God's providence. Now, if you read our founding fathers, they used the word a lot. A lot. And those in modern history today, or historians today, want to tell you, it just refers to deism. Problem is, what's deism? There's a God who wound up the clock and let it run hands off. That you can't be a deist and believe in providence. Providence means God's hands on. And thus the name of the place. Providence, Rhode Island. You know, they believed it at least, okay? So let me, according to Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, page 316, this definition of the first part of providence is called preservation. I think that's pretty easy. God keeps all created things existing and maintaining the properties with which he created them. All right? By the way, I read 480 pages of that while I was gone. It was about halfway through. If you want to read it, I recommend it. Okay? But here's the idea that water has certain properties that make it water and not gold, not a fish, that makes it water. So God created the water. We can see that in Genesis. But he sustains, maintains the things that make it water. For that, y'all know what the weak force and the strong force is in the nucleus? All right? Because opposites attract, positives repel, why in the world doesn't the nucleus come apart? Something holds it together. They don't know what it is. They can sort of mathematically explain the relationship, all right? But there's something there that holds the atom together, both the nucleus and the electrons. Something holds them together. The properties by which an atom functions, God maintains so it stays an atom. That's preservation. You got it? The idea of it? Okay. Nehemiah 9:6. I have a lot of scriptures today, okay, and they're not going to be up there. So you have to write them down if you want them. Isaiah 9:6. You are the Lord. You alone. You are God alone. Oh, it's okay. Just forgive me if I'm not on key. Okay. You made heaven and the heaven of heavens. That means up in heaven too. With all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You preserve all of them. And the host of heaven worships you. Notice that this is a reason for worship. that God preserves, maintains all the things that he created. Okay, Job 34, 14 through 15. And I give you a scripture because there's great consternation about the doctrine of providence. And so I give you scripture for it. If he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we give. Okay. All flesh would perish altogether. And man would return to dust. Now imagine, we've all seen the movies before scuba. And when you went down in the big iron thing on your head, you know, and somebody was upstairs pumping the hose to get you oxygen. Okay, that's God. It's his breath in our lungs. He's pumping. If he ever stops pumping, you're dead. It's your breath in our lungs. So I'll pour out. Yeah. You better be nice to the guy upstairs pumping that oxygen when you down there in the diving bell. See, we forget that. We take for granted breath. But God says if he just holds back his breath, his spirit, all humanity would cease to be. Oh. God, if you never did anything for me, I'm breathing, right? Then I could praise you. Hebrews 1 and 3, thinking about Christ, who is the exact representation of, okay, upholds all things by the power of his word, which is his breath. There you go. Okay, Colossians, you heard me read it to the kids. 1:16 through 7, for by him all things were created. Notice his sustaining, his maintaining is connected with his creation. Both the heavens and the earth, the visible, the invisible, the thrones or dominions, rulers and authorities. I hate to tell you, God made Trump and the title and position he'll hold. And Obama as well. All things have been created through him and for him. Did you catch that? He created it for him, not for you. For him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together or consist. Without him, it all falls apart. The universe collapses, flies apart. He's the one that maintains it. That's the perseverance, our preservation side of God's providence. Then there's something called concurrence, and this is where everybody gets messed up. This is my definition. God works with, in, and through the things he created in every action, directing their distinct properties to bring about the actions they do. Okay, let me put it this way. God sustains not only water, okay, but directs its properties in such a manner that water behaves like water does. Water flows downhill, in case you hadn't noticed. It always seeks the path of least resistance. And if there's something in its way, it's going to work its way through it. It's one of the best solvents on the planet. It'll weed its way through rock. But that's true for you and I as well, and every other thing that is. Okay? Ephesians 1:11 tells us that God works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things according to the counsel of his will. Nothing happens outside of his will. Not even a sparrow falling to the ground. Job 37 tells us that even nature and the elements fulfill his will. Okay? Job 20, again, 37, 6 through 10. By the breath of God, there's that breath again, the same word as spirit, ice is given. Well, thank you, God. I think I have enough. And the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick clouds with moisture, and the clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the inhabited world. Whether for correction, you mean God would use weather to bring about correction? Don't say that out loud, because then when there's a natural disaster, people call you crazy because you said God did it, even though it says here that, okay. Or for his land, or for love. He causes it to happen. In particular there, the weather. And we'll talk, well, no, we know how weather happens. Give me a minute. Psalms 104:14. You, God, caused the grass to grow for livestock, and the plants for man to cultivate. that they may bring food on the earth. The animals are fed by God, it goes on in Psalms 104 and verse 27 and 30. And again, I'll say Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. You've heard this before. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. No, they don't. I put seed in the bird feeder. They go out and dig, eat the corn that's left behind the farmers. We want to say that, okay? Matthew 10 and 29 tells us that not one of them, that is sparrows, falls to the earth apart from the will of God. You mean that dead bird I found in the yard, that was the will of God? It's just it. Job 38, 31 through 2, it tells us that God directs the stars. But we want to think there's these forces of gravity, and of course they don't know what gravity is. God makes the sun to rise and causes rain. Matthew, New Testament, chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus himself. See, the problem, we have difficulty. Now, in the law, they don't, but we do. The idea of primary and secondary cause. All right? The law, when you go to court cases, they really deal in those kinds, particular negligent cases. But God makes the grass grow and sustains its properties so it grows the way it does and feeds off the ground the way it does and maintains it so it's not a squirrel. But we believe things changed their properties and became something else. Well, wait a minute. I could put sodium and oxygen, make sodium oxide. Yeah, but the properties of sodium and oxide is the only reason you could put those together. You don't put sodium and water together. Why? It tends to get explosive. I watched a great video, sidetrack, of somebody took hollow points and put sodium in them and shot a watermelon. You ought to watch that watermelon explode. The properties of water and oil say you don't mix them. You can try if you want. You can force them through some other catalyst, but the properties that make them what they are and how they function, God's the one that creates, sustains them, and makes them what they are. The birds eat the seed you put in the bird feeder because God made and sustains seed the way it is and maintains the properties of a bird the way it is. You aren't going to feed him if he didn't do that. So God's the primary cause. You putting stuff in the bird feeder may be secondary cause. Okay? You think about it. Give us this day our... That's funny. I went, thought you went to the grocery store. I swear I saw you there buying bread. You went to work and paid for it, but yet we pray ourselves, understanding God's the one that gives it to us. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. And he may use ordinary means. God supplied my needs, so he gives you a second job. Okay, we don't understand. God doesn't have to make manna fall from heaven to provide your daily bread. As much as seed and birds, there were ordinary means by which he does that. Now, look at, what about us? Watch this. Psalms 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, what? The days that were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them. Let me put it this way. God, you wrote it all my days before I ever came into existence. You wrote them. We have a problem with that because we like to think we're in charge. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. That it is not a man who walks to direct his steps. Wait a minute, I got up this morning, well, actually last night. I decided I was wearing this tie and this shirt. Pretty good choice, I think. Okay? I decide, well, wait. I know you think you do. And in some sense you do. I'm not saying we don't have freedom of choice in that sense. Yes, you do. But God made you with the properties with you. Oh, let me keep reading before I get ahead of myself. Okay? Proverbs 20 and 24, the first half of that verse. The man's steps are ordained by the Lord. The steps. not just an end result steps. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, I want you to do this. I'm not going to do it here. I want you to go home and read Proverbs 16:4 and let it mess with you. Because it's going to mess with you. Proverbs 16, write that down. Put it in your phone. Proverbs 6, you want to talk about the providence of God and concurrence, read, don't do it now, don't cheat, don't get distracted. Proverbs 16:4. The reason is if I get off on that, we get on a whole nother thing, okay? Job 14:5. Since his, that is a man's, days are determined, the number of his months is with you. And you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. Remember the guy, I think it was Jim Fix, the guy got the rig running craze going in the 70s to stay healthy, to stay fit. What did he die of? Heart attack. Yeah, your days are numbered, bud, and you ain't going to pass them no matter what you do. Now, does that mean I'd be lazy, sit around, eat bonbons, and grow fat? No, because I'm a steward of the body I've been given. I'm going to be held accountable before God in judgment. I gave you this. How'd you use it? But don't think for a minute you're going to make the day of your death last longer. How many studies do you see? If you do this, people live 8 years longer. If you do this, you live 2 years longer. If you do that, I'm sorry, not longer than God determined you don't. Okay? Look at Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work. Now, wait a minute. Guess what that is? It is God in you that gives you that choice that you have, that will, he's the one doing that. To will and work for his good pleasure. Well, I thought it's so I can be happy. I thought it's so I can be content. I thought it's so I can have all my stuff right now. I thought it's so I can have my best life now and my everyday would be blessed. I thought that. No, it's for his good pleasure. And if it's his good pleasure to make rain fall on the just and the unjust, oh, there's that weather again. That's God's good pleasure. We think about how we choose. Now, I want you to understand this. If God determines your days, matter of fact, I can read scripture, he determines where you're going to be born. That means the mama and the papa you have. And the reason you're messed up today is because mama and papa. How many of you have seen that commercial? I forgot what it was. I swore I was never going to end up like my mother. Until you do. So wait a minute. God's the one who gave you the parents that you have so that the nature and properties you have will be the properties and nature you have. And that's how you make those choices. That's how you do. We tend to think we have free will in this sense, completely not influenced by other sources. That's what we think. We say, I have free will. I can do it. No, you can't do what you want. Okay? Be a bird. You can't be. What they do, they lock you up. Why? Because God made you with the properties you have of humanness, not burdenness. Okay? He gave you the experiences you have, both positive and negative. He made you rich or poor. He made those experiences with you. Okay? And so when you will and act, you're doing exactly what he determined you'd will and act based upon the nature, the history, the past, the feelings, the emotions that he knew you would have. Now, let's get real. I can change your brain makeup and you have different emotions. Right? I can give you drugs that change your emotion. And in a lot of cases, that's helpful. People have depression or other issues. Okay? But you know why? If you have a certain way of thinking, God made your brain that way. Yeah, and you're choosing, you're completely choosing to do X or Y. Yes, you are. Completely in and who and what you are. But God's made you who and what you are. So in a sense, he's primary cause, you're secondary cause. Now get this, you never blame God for sin. You can't blame God for sin. The Bible tells us he's not tempted by it or causes it. We get mixed up. The law recognizes primary and secondary cause. Ready? They've tried to sue gun companies when somebody goes and shoots a bunch of people. They recognize, whoa. The primary cause of the gun is the gun company. The secondary cause there of the shooting, the one who actually does it, that guy's accountable. We have no problem with that in our culture. I run over you with my car unless there's negligence on the part of the car manufacturer. but I'm simply not paying attention and I run you over or your cat or dog. The court doesn't sue General Motors. We in our culture recognize accountability based on secondary cause. But we have a problem with it with God. Well, why did God make me this way? It's his fault. No, it's not. Primary and secondary, even in our legal system, we account for it. In God's legal system, you're accountable for your actions. Because let's get real. That thing that desire, that thing you're choosing to do at the moment, there's probably another option. Yeah. Yes, you have. How many know you're supposed to grow up and get past your natural tendencies? Most of you, I don't think, wet your pants anymore. Maybe later you will, okay? But you don't do that. You don't sit and cry for food. No, you learn to feed yourself. As you get older, you learn it isn't all about you. You don't live as selfish as most 15-year-olds. And if you're 15, 16, forgive me, but that's just the way it is. They've proven that your brain, the part of your brain that's all about you, is the most active in your teenage years. Thank God that nature changes. And so on. So you still usually have an option to lie or not to lie, even though your tendency is to protect yourself. Did you steal a, take a cookie out of the cookie jar, Johnny? His tendency is to say no. But we teach them you got to grow past that tendency and choose the other option. So just because God made things a certain way doesn't necessarily mean you have to go with that. You're still accountable for your choices. God made birds. He made the bird seed you put in your feeder, but he also made the seed that's growing on the tree next door. And the bird will choose one or the other. As best as animals, I guess, choose. We sang this song, "You are on your throne," right? In good times and bad times. See, there's a people out there tell you walk in faith when you got all the stuff. You don't have enough faith unless it's all up on the mountain. Let me take you to the valley and that'll test your faith. It's when you're facing the cross and you say, "Father, if there's another way, but if there's not, let your will be done." See, faith is really trusting the providence of God when life is crumbling. Now imagine, here you are, you're one of those tribes. You've been given X allotment of land. And guess what you have to do to get there? No, by lot, by chance. God chose you for that place, but then you face an enemy.
Well, I don't know. I don't think God made this one for me. I think I'm supposed to have that one. Oh, you've never done this. Have that one over there. That spouse over there. That job over there. That house over there. That family over there. That past over there.
But God, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't by chance. It was by the providence of God that brought you to that point of pain, who took you through that place. Maybe you're in the valley right now, but he's the same God there as he was on the mountaintop. In the good times and the bad times, we sang that, God is still on his throne. It doesn't alter his sovereign power over all things when things get dark. You know what that brings to me? I can have the same peace in the middle of the valley that I had at the top. Now, let's get real. It is a little easier to claim the wondrous glory of God up there on the top. But he's the same God down in the valley that he is on the top. The same nature, the same attributes, the same things I praised him for who he is up here, he still is down here. Does it change my praise then? No. I can show up on Sunday morning in the sound system and not worry. It doesn't change my praise. They can flood my house, which they did, if you remember, before Christmas, and it doesn't change my praise. They can tell you have to go to the Mayo Clinic. That don't change my praise. God is in control and sovereign over every phase, every difficulty, every victory that I have, that you have, that the sparrow has, or even the thunderstorm or the pile of snow outside.
Amen.
I can praise him while I'm shoveling global warming. I can praise him in the summer when it's triple digits and I have to work outside. You can praise him because he's still the same. He's still the one that holds the whole world in his hands. You and me, sister. You and me, brother. We're in his hands.
Amen.
It isn't the roll of the dice. That you are what you are, that you went through what you went through. He's God who's taking you along the way, all the way. Let's stand. God, I, in my limited intellect and understanding, I may not be able to fathom, and I can tell you, I cannot fathom how your actions, your causality works in concurrence with my choices. I can't really put my mind around that, but I can sure put my faith around it. I can put my trust in you. God, I pray for that person or persons right now that they're in the valley, they're in the dark spot, they don't understand. But God, I pray that you will let them know that you were there long before they ever arrived. You had written it in their book, and you made a way for them to stand in the midst of it as they put their faith in your great providence. Thank you, Lord, that you are unchangeable and you never lose control. To you be the glory forever. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.